Welcome back to Truncated Thoughts presented by Prescouter, where we have short discussions on big ideas in healthcare. I'm Jeremy Schmier, and with me is Dr. Ryan LaRanger. Today, we're talking about sustainability, which has, and we hope continues to be, a big strategy initiative for companies. We'll highlight some macro trends as well as where there might be opportunities for the healthcare industry to become more environmentally conscious. To help us in this discussion, we also have Christian Salas joining us, who is a material scientist focusing on the energy sector. One thing that comes to mind immediately in the healthcare industry is the presence of single-use products such as vials, syringes, bandages. Christian, how are some other industries approaching this type of challenge with some of their single use?
Perfect. Thanks, Jeremy. Other industries, let's say, from a sustainability point of view, this is a topic that all industries are looking at, and life sciences, healthcare is definitely one of those two. There are actually two ways of looking at this, or one can categorize that in two ways. So first would be the thing that pretty much all companies have already been doing, even if they don't know that they are working for improving the environment, which is increasing efficiency. That means producing the same amount of product by using less resources. That would definitely help us to meet the Paris Agreement goals of a global increase in temperature. And that's also one thing all companies have been doing, because that actually also increases profits, right? So less resources for the same amount of products. So that's one way of doing sustainability measures. And the other aspect is going a little bit further, which is doing things specifically to diminish either the carbon footprint, embodied carbon footprint of the products, or overall greenhouse gases emission. That has to do with doing things like on-site renewable energy generation, waste recycling, of course, paying attention to the supplier of the products or other materials that each company uses in their corresponding products, to make sure that the products that they are obtaining have also a lower carbon footprint. Because if you check which products you outsource, then you would also have an impact in the embodied carbon footprint of your product. So generally speaking, that's one of the key things that all industries are looking right now.
Excellent. That's a good explanation. So really understanding where all of those materials and products which go into your products are coming from as well. Ryan, what are your thoughts here?
I learned so much. So in terms of healthcare specifically, there are a couple of different ways to manage these things, right? One is materials and one is process. Anyone who's worked in the lab knows that you can wind up wasting a ton of pipette tips and other plastic products. You just throw them away as fast as you can into biohazard containers, autoclave a lot of them, and off they go. And so plastics recycling sort of falls into one of these categories. Another one is in and that can fall under research. Another one can be in terms of the production of material en masse. So making vaccine, making other pharmaceuticals, especially in the biologic space, right? So when you're talking about vaccines, classically, it's done in sort of a difficult to scale way. It's done in eggs, right? So you have huge numbers of eggs being made and then discarded for these vaccines, which can actually be a lot of biological waste that can be kind of problematic. And one of the, you know, very exciting things about mRNA, like beyond the potential vaccine for cancer and all this other business, is that you don't need to make them with eggs, right? An mRNA vaccine doesn't need eggs. And so that has some potential green improvements, if you like. Another one, sort of broadly, is that in the biologics manufacturing space, traditionally biologics or drugs made by bacteria or yeast or one of these other things that's been harvested are made in these enormous metal containers, bioreactors, which need to be washed regularly with a bunch of caustic chemicals. And so in a way that one might not expect, the trend in the manufacture of biologics towards single-use bioreactors, which are made of plastic generally and then are thrown away after one use, can actually be greener, because those plastics can be recycled and you don't need to go through all of the, you know, rigor and nasty cleaning steps, which you need for the more permanent metal bioreactors. So let me take a pause there. I went through a lot. Does that generally track?
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. I'm actually curious what Christian's perspective is as you started to talk about single use at a larger scale with those bioreactors. Christian, what are your thoughts here?
Well, let me start with some years ago, actually. Now, people, for example, from the plastic industry, they divided plastics into recyclable plastic and not recyclable plastic. That has changed actually for a couple of years already. So it's not non-recyclable plastic, it's essentially hard to recycle plastic. So that tells us that the technology where is that going for? It's going for being able to actually recycle pretty much everything, right? So of course it's more difficult to recycle some sort of plastics. They don't have the maturity, maybe the technology or the scale needed right away, but it's going there. So in the future, most likely all of the materials, no matter where they are coming from or what's the level of cleanliness they have, they would be able to be recycled. So that has a twofold benefit, right? So first, you are not throwing waste or into landfills or whatever those products end up, and then produce the all very known consequences in the environment. But secondly, you would also reduce, again to my first point, you would also reduce how much materials you are purchasing in the first place, which means again reducing the resources that you would be needing for generating the same amount of product.
Christian, let me come back to something that you said about hard to recycle. What is the transition, or what are the challenges that are present for, you know, making everything recyclable, or maybe qualify what you meant by hard to recycle?
Well, that's very interesting. That's one of my favorite topics. But essentially, there are some, let's talk again about plastics, which are the most common ones. There are some sort of plastic that in their chemical composition have certain ions or elements that are kind of difficult to treat when you're talking about processes that, for example, elevate temperatures. That's the case of PVC, for example. It has chloride in it. And once you put chloride into the steel reactor or stainless steel reactor, it can trigger corrosion and some aspect that typically people doing some sort of pyrolysis process won't like, and it would interfere with the process. So they would typically tell you, okay, there's a limit for how much PVC you can enter in this recycling facility. There are some other too, like PET that has oxygen present there too, that can also interfere with the yield of the process. And apart from specific chemistries, there's also the thing that nowadays, many of the products have more than one, for example, polymer on it. So the multi-layer aspect there. So, and not all the technologies work well with all the exact same polymers. So sometimes you need to separate them. And a thing that was very difficult before, now there are new technologies that are called the solvent-based technologies, that what they essentially do, they are able to dissolve each of them separately so you can treat them and produce plastics again. So here again, you are eliminating a waste, and now you're also replacing materials that have been originally fossil-based materials, right? Because you are producing polymers again and not using any fossil fuels.
So I'm pretty sure there's some sort of law that I need to mention artificial intelligence at least once per session. So what I would suggest is one thing that's really exciting about these plastics is the manual sorting element that's required to sort of get these mixes right. Because, you know, Christian was just talking about a number of these mixes that you need. If you have too much of the wrong thing, it's a problem. It's sorting these traditionally been very challenging, as it's very low pay work. You have to have people sort of walking around or in trash, basically trying to sort one kind of plastic from another. There are now automated sorting machines which use a mixture of sophisticated sensors and machine intelligence to get the right mix where it needs to go. And these kinds of technologies will make the recycling of these products and healthcare overall easier and much less costly.
Excellent. Yeah, great descriptions from both of you on that one. What we've seen a lot is, you know, there's a general trend towards what's called ethical investing, which in turn feeds a lot of funds to green initiatives. You know, what types of causes have you guys seen this money go toward? This is sort of a broad-based question to kind of tie off the end of the podcast here. So, Ryan, why don't we start with you? What are some of those ethical investing or green initiatives that you're seeing more broadly?
So it depends on how jaded you want to be. If I'm
as much
honest,
as you want.
There are almost any large company, healthcare or otherwise, produces a sustainability report. Those reports are generally speaking, they have to have some kind of, this is our progress on this initiative. Many of those right now are focused on operational improvements. There are some cases where they are systemic. That is a little bit more rare. Unfortunately, some groups are seeing this as a bit of a box to check. And so it's, I don't know where I land on this yet. There are some groups that are taking it more seriously, but the accounting and accountability for green investing, that doesn't have as much rigor behind it as I would like right now.
Well, hopefully Christian can give us a little bit more optimism in his response. Christian, what do you think here?
Well, I actually share much of what Ryan has just explained. Unfortunately, there is a lot of greenwashing out there, but I think we're moving in the right direction to try to avoid this greenwashing and not taking that so seriously. So generally speaking, most of the companies nowadays, if not already, are moving into accounting for their GHG emissions. One typical protocol that they use or guidelines that they follow is the GHG protocol, which essentially accounts for the scope 1, scope 2, and scope 3 emissions. Generally speaking, when you buy a product, when you need some sort of supply to make your product, your own product or process, you would, as per scope 3 emissions, you would take into account the emissions from the product that you have just bought into your own emissions. So that has a very strong consequence. That is, the companies that are looking to become greener, let's say, are actually now pushing their supply chain to start picking out the companies that have a greener product, let's say. And that's not something that they would do like because they say it's greener or they say it's low emissions. They would actually want to see the numbers of how much kilograms of CO2 there is in the kilogram of product that they are outsourcing there. That means that big companies leading this effort into a more sustainable future are starting pushing that pressure into their supply chain, which I guess gives us a little bit of hope about a better environment in the future.
I think it certainly gives hope. And I like the idea of there being metrics and numbers which they're trying to hit. Otherwise, how can we measure how much more sustainable someone's actually becoming? So that's a great insight. All right, that is all the time we have for today. We hope you found this episode relevant and informative. If you're not a subscriber already, find us on Apple, Spotify, and Stitcher. In our next episode, we're going to discuss long-read DNA sequencing, which was a request from one of our listeners. So until then, thanks for listening.